Everyone, great to have you with us. As John has said this morning,
because it's a long weekend, a lot of our people are away, so we're delighted to have you with us. You probably caught the tone or the theme of the worship service today that we're beginning a new preaching series just
simply talking about the Bible, the mystery of Scripture itself. And I love this passage in John that John just read to us. John chapter 5, 39, where Jesus says, "You diligently study the Scriptures." And let's just take a poll. How many of us like to spend some time in the Scriptures? Just raise your hand. So you're in church, so you've got to raise your hand, right? So we diligently study the Scriptures. But do we think that because we study the Scriptures, we have eternal life? We read words of eternal life. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But these Scriptures testify about, remember what the passage says? Me, not me, but Jesus. Testify about me. And the whole Bible really centers around Jesus. Now someone says, wait a minute. You mean that Jesus was in Genesis and that Jesus was in little tiny wee books like Obadiah and Habakkuk and things like that? The answer is absolutely. You may remember that after Jesus was raised from the dead, there's two stories that Luke tells. And this is just beginning to set up this preaching series. And that he's walking along the road with Cleopas and another person, and they don't recognize Jesus after he's been raised from the dead. And they're talking to Jesus. And afterwards, they sit down and they have a meal. And when Jesus opens the bread, if you will, they recognize that it's Jesus. And he says to them, don't you realize that everything that happened to me was already spoken by Moses and the law and all the prophets and the Psalms? I fulfilled it all. And then later, when he appears before his disciples, he reminds them one more time, especially in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 16, Jesus was upset at their stubborn refusal to believe, even though he was standing right in front of them. And again, Jesus reminds them, everything that happened to me was not a failure. Everything that happened to me was for your benefit and the world's benefit and the eternal benefit of all people. That everything that happened to me was already spoken. And he says the same thing. By Moses and the law, the Pentateuch, all of the prophets, the Torah, and the Psalms itself. And so now the apostles go into the world and they share this story. There's a mystery to all of these Scriptures that we'll spend some time talking about. I'm really excited about it. I'm glad that you're with us today. We just like to take the opportunity to relax with each other. We would feel terrible. I don't think it's ever happened, but maybe it has on occasion, that someone would come to the worship service and no one said hello to them. We would never want that to happen. You're safe here. We're a relaxed group of people. We're not going to say anything or do anything that's going to make anybody feel uncomfortable. We're just delighted that you're here. So let's just take the opportunity just for maybe 1 minute to get up and just welcome each other, and then we'll get back into our lesson today. So I'm going to start slowly, and I'm going to continue slowly through this series. We're not going to be in a rush. I just have enjoyed getting lost in looking at the Scriptures and how profound they are, because the language is literal, but it isn't. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes the language is apocryphal. It's metaphorical. Sometimes it's poetic. Sometimes it's absolutely direct. Sometimes we read the Scriptures, but when you read certain chapters, you want to sing them because that's what they were created to do. Sometimes they even want to make us dance a little bit. One thing about the Scriptures is they'll never fully and completely be understood, and that's not a dangerous thing, because how many of us are continually learning new things when we read the Scriptures? Has that ever happened to us? It continually reveals itself to us. And there are still hidden truths that are yet to be discovered. And that excites me mightily to sit down and talk to my grandsons and say, someday you're going to read some Scriptures and you're going to say something about it that no one maybe had ever thought of before. It's there to be revealed to us. And it's a constant truth. But one thing we know about scriptures is that the whole point of them was to reveal Jesus Christ, and still to this day. And sometimes in the darkest points of scripture, there's always a glimmer of light there. Like almost when Jerusalem is totally captured and there's nothing left, there's nothing good, there's always this little dim light that a Savior would be coming. Now, some people will say something like this. Look, enough of this stuff and the fluff about scripture. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says, and that's it. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say that, but all you have to do is just read a couple of passages and you go, I don't think that's really exactly right. For example, in Acts chapter 2, here's this profound situation where the day of Pentecost comes, and so you have these untrained, unschooled followers of Jesus who all of a sudden, through the Holy Spirit, are able to speak in languages that they never knew before because of Pentecost being a huge week party for all of Israel, and people from all over the world, Israelites from all over the world, come to Jerusalem speaking different languages, and all of a sudden they're hearing the gospel being preached in their own language, and they know something is up. And so Luke is telling this story in the book of Acts. Now, I want to stop for just a moment. Sometimes we can read the scriptures and just ascertain things. You know, sometimes when the scriptures are being written, Luke writes that he wasn't even there. He learned all he could learn from scripture by the Apostle Paul. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, only Matthew and John were there in person to witness it. And you have Mark, who is the first gospel book that's ever written, who learned about Jesus through Peter. And you have Luke, who writes Acts and the Gospel of Luke, who learns about Jesus through Paul. And he's telling this amazing story of what happened. And here's what he says. In chapter 2 of Acts, in verse 17, when people are hearing all of this, these different languages being spoken, Peter stands up and he says, quoting from the Old Testament book of Joel, verse 17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." So the Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. But read the next couple of verses. "And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. No, this is apocryphal language. This is metaphorical language that we, especially in North America, really shake our heads. What in the world is he talking about? Well, there were sections in the scripture where a powerful statement is made. And following that powerful statement, and sometimes before that statement, it seems like the strangest words are being written, and it's to grab our attention. So you have books in the Bible that do this constantly. Revelation is such. And there are others as well. We don't have time to read all of it, but I want to just have a little bit of fun and go back and look in Ezekiel chapter 1, who Ezekiel saw some pretty incredible things, and it's not intended to be literal, it's intended to be figurative, and what's the point being made? See if you get this, and I'm going to read this at super speed, because I want you to capture what Ezekiel saw and just see if it makes any sense for us to say, well, it says what it means and it means what it says, whatever that means. So here's what he says. Here's what happens to him. "I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounding by brilliant light. The center of the fire like glowing metal, and the fire was looked like four living creatures. And in the appearance form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their hair were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings on four sides, they had human hands, all four of them faces and wings, and the wings one touched the other wings and the other did the same, and each one went straight ahead and they did not turn around as they moved. And their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a human being, and on the right side of each, the face of a lion, on the left side, the face of an ox, also the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and they had two wings spreading out outward, each wing touching of the creature on either side, and each of the two other wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Whatever the spirit would go, they would turn. Sometimes they would turn when they would go. The appearance of the living creature... That's the first quarter of this. So what does that mean? Well, we have to read the entire book. And then we look back at it, and it's an apocryphal story. What's the meaning behind the picture? Now, some of us have done this on occasion, and I'm fascinated always by it. Sometimes you go into an art museum. I remember once being on a school trip. It was a grade 8 school trip, and the teachers all wanted to go to this brilliant art museum. And, you know, there's nothing more that a grade 8, 12-year-old boy wants to do than go and stand in front of an art gallery, right? So we had all of us guys, and we're looking at it, and we're trying to figure out, because we heard the teachers going, oh, wow, look at that. We're going, it just looks like a dark cloud. What's the big deal? But then we heard them talking, and all of a sudden they're starting to reveal, well, I know when the artist was painting that, they were going through a difficult time, and there's this darkness in there. But if you look through there, can you see that little tiny wee light trying to get through? And so us now we're starting to look, and we go, well, I wonder what that's all about. And then as we heard them tell their story about the life of this artist who's portraying it, all of a sudden what seemed like the most boring thing in the world turned around to say, I never realized that a painting isn't just a painting. There's multi-layers to the meaning of all of this, and scripture is true with this. We love the Bible with all of our heart, and we read it, and we continue to do it. And the words of Jesus are not simply fact-based or historical. They're relevant today. And the relevancy of the words of Jesus are as profound today as they were when he said, you diligently study the scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But these scriptures testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Now, it is possible for any of us to twist the Bible and make it say what we want it to say. And the Pharisees in this text that we heard this morning were excellent at quoting scripture, but with disastrous results, often devaluing and dehumanizing people. Because Jesus said something. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave, help me, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them they possess eternal life. Eternal life comes through who? Jesus. Landon Saunders could say this, because he's almost 80 years old. And this year at the Pepperdine Lectures, which I wasn't able to attend but was able to stream it, he stood up, and if you know Landon, just such a gentle man, just a wonderful, caring, loving man. He loves people more than he loves himself. In fact, he often reminds us of what Paul said, that he would give up his own salvation if it meant others would come to Christ. That's how he feels. But he reminded us in that sermon. He said, Jesus did not say, for God so loved the world that he gave us a book. And he loves the Bible. I don't know anyone who knows the Bible more than Landon Saunders. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And even though there are lots of divergent paths in Scripture, and it takes us on some pretty amazing trips, doesn't it? Pretty incredible stories, really awesome stories. It's always leading us to Jesus. So isn't it interesting that we can read the story of Ruth, and there's a redeemer found in there somewhere, and it's always Jesus. Or you can look at Israelites crossing the sea, and there's this lack of faith and despondency, and then there's all these rituals that go along, but that someday they're going to be freed from their bondage. They're going to cross the sea into a brand new land, and that sea that they cross is, in fact, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, walking through the waters of baptism, coming out into a new land to share this wonderful experience that we have called life. So there's so many scriptures that can be revealed and unlayered to us. His compassion, his love for every person, his willingness to come alongside people, the disadvantaged, the cast-offs of society, the hurting, he came for us. So when we read the scripture, we always keep Jesus at the center of our minds. And I don't mean to be sarcastic, and I don't mean to make fun of scripture, but sometimes there is humor in scripture. And even though Jesus didn't tell a lot of jokes, I think sometimes there was a smile when he was gathering all the people together, and we have what's called the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells these beautiful life stories, these beautiful parables and beautiful stories, and of the man who is so concerned about the speck in another man's eyes, not knowing all along that he himself has a log sticking out of his own eye. And every time he could see, turn his head, he's smacking that guy in the side of the face who has this little speck. It's a picture story that Jesus is telling to say, well, that's kind of a silly story. Exactly, Jesus is saying. Isn't it silly to go around picking at people when we ourselves have logs sticking out from our heart and from our eyes, because somehow we need to feel justified instead of giving all the glory to Jesus and knowing that he brought us into the world to help people who don't know him or never thought it was important. And so here's just Jesus coming in as the living example of God. He is the exact representation of his being. And then when he speaks, it's God himself who shares to us. I love it when Jesus says, you have heard it said. Sometimes they were direct quotes from the Old Testament. Sometimes they weren't. But I say unto you, in other words, here's what God always meant when we said this. And I think it's important to always go back and look at those parables. Look at that Sermon on the Mount, because I think that there are more things there to be revealed. And the last thing I want to talk about is that we never, ever want to use the scriptures as a threat. Let me close with this. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to actually put the Bible in your hand today and look in John chapter 8. This came to me this past week. As you know, there are people who are hurting. There are always people who are hurting. I know Diane misses Donald terribly. And she's glad, and we're glad for Donald, that how he's now free and clear, and his mind is sharp, and he's now living the way God always intended him free, and that one day we will all be together again. Amen? We have loved ones waiting, but they're with Jesus, and they see him face to face. They know him better now than they've ever known him before. They're okay, and they're waiting for us, but they aren't threatening us. They're waiting for us with loving kindness and grace. And so here was Jesus standing alive with people, standing there with grace, full of compassion. And here's someone's life who maybe got off track. But here's the story, and you know it fairly well. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, This woman was caught in the act of adultery. The Bible says in the law of Moses commands us to stone such women. That's what the Bible says. Now, what do you say? And they were using this question as a trap in order to have basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down, started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, I think threatening him with scripture, so funny, by the way, stop, so funny. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word is God, Jesus is the Word, he's standing in front of them, and they're quoting scripture to the one who is the Word, thinking that they can teach something to Jesus about the Word, and he is the Word, the living Word. Somehow they can't see him. They kept on questioning him, and straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. I love this. Maybe because I'm getting older. The older ones first. They got that. They got that. Yeah, we were using scripture to trap someone. We were using scripture, using a woman in sin as an example in order to trap Jesus, who is the Word. Was it ever going to work? Of course not. Could we possibly know the Bible so well that we use the scriptures to threaten people? Then we don't know the scriptures, because the scriptures need to look like Jesus. And here he is. And then Jesus doesn't condone this woman. It says, the only ones left were Jesus and this woman standing there. And Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? And has no one condemned you?" "No one," she said. "Then neither do I. But go and leave that life of sin." There is a welcome call in Jesus. Apologize for going a bit longer today, but I just want to begin this preaching series looking at the mystery of Scripture and always seeing Jesus in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you continually reveal to us who you are, who Jesus is, and your Spirit. Thank you that you have given us this wonderful message where we can see Jesus clearly, and sometimes not so clearly, but may we always keep him as the focus. Help us to understand sometimes the truth behind every story. As Jesus told his parables, may we learn things today that will help us. Help the hurting. Come alongside others. And when we ourselves hurt, that we can just rest in him, in his arms, in your scriptures as well. May we reach across to one another as we constantly reach up to you. And through Christ, we say thank you and amen.